You should find a bulletin, or you should find an outline in your bulletin. The top should say strength in weakness from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Strength in weakness. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, Father, we pray that You would speak to us through the Holy Spirit, through the words of the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Corinth, and really written to all the churches that would come after them, for our instruction, our encouragement. We just ask that You would speak to us through the Spirit, as You continually do through Your Word. We thank You for this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's probably happened to you more than once, but maybe you're working in the yard, maybe you're working in the basement, or you're in a barn, or you're outside, and you get a splinter in your finger, right? And sometimes you don't even know it until your finger goes against your clothes or something and it snags it. And it's like, oh man, you know, what we never do during those times is I'll just leave it in there. Right? You go immediately and you get the tweezers and you dig it out, because if you leave it in there, it's just a constant irritation to you. And it's always snagging on stuff. It's always painful when the splinter is in there, and you just can't leave it alone. And it's interesting because Paul uses really that word in the text here, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in the NIV it's translated a thorn. And he writes this in verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited or prideful because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And we may think, well, what is going on here? You know, like, we're kind of picking up here in the middle of an idea. So we have to kind of go back to 2 Corinthians 11. And this is not on your outline, but there had been some people who were opposed to Paul, and they were boasting about their credentials, basically. And Paul's basically had enough of this, the boasting of these individuals. And in verse 21 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he says this: whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more, Paul says. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. I might say that's a strange thing to boast about. I mean, because that's not what anybody does. Like, nobody thinks about their resume and says, you know, I'm just going to put on there, I'm not very good at this, and I can't do that very well. And you just give a list of all the things. Now, I'm really lousy at teamwork, and I'm not a good communicator, and I don't show up for work that much. I mean, not a very good resume. You're going to boast about all your weaknesses, Paul. That's just kind of strange to do. But there's a reason. He does this, and we're going to find out why this is the case. And he continues on at the beginning of chapter 12. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. He was caught up into paradise. He heard inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think of me more than what is warranted by what I do or say. Then he gets to the point where we just read, to keep me from becoming conceited or prideful because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And this is confusing to many people. You know, well, Paul here is a strong Christian. Like, why is this messenger of Satan even present? It's just very clear from the text. There was this danger of him becoming very prideful, of becoming essentially thinking of himself, oh, I've had these very great revelations that Jesus had given him, and he was caught up into heaven somehow, and we don't know, he doesn't even know. Was he in his body? Was he out of his body? He doesn't know, but he knows he got these revelations, and he heard inexpressible things, and he wasn't permitted to tell anyone. So he had this great and powerful revelation. And if that happens to you, you would be very inclined to think of yourself, man, I must be special. I must be, you know, very close to God. I'm so blessed to be able to get this opportunity. And he was. But a lot of people believe, he was reaching such heights, and literally heights of heaven, that he had to be pinned back down to the ground. What was this thorn? The commentator said, it can either mean a stake which pegged him to the ground, or a splinter or a thorn which constantly irritated him. The word was employed in both senses. Interestingly, Paul was a tent maker also, so he knew a lot about tent stakes, I'm sure, holding the tent on the ground. A tent's very good, except when the wind picks up, and then the tent becomes a sail and takes off. So you got to keep them grounded. It's this notion of something sharp and painful, which sticks deeply in the flesh, and in the will of God defies extraction. The effect of its presence was to cripple Paul's enjoyment of life, to frustrate his full efficiency by draining his energies. There's a sense in which You can't be caught up into heaven like he was without also getting the thorn. There's that. And I love the song, but every rose has its thorn, right? You just can't get the rose without the thorn. And somebody has to actually take them off if you want a rose like that, because they don't come that way. And it's a bit discouraging. We think, why is life like that? Why do we have to have the thorns and the roses? Why can't we just have the roses? Why do we have to have, the weeds and the garden stuff, Okay, just the weeds, nobody plants those. And they're just irritating. And they're always coming up, threatening to choke out the other stuff that's useful. But really, this has been a theme for Paul. Remember, we kind of touched on some of these things. He talked about the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. And he talked about, we share in God's comfort, but we also share in the sufferings of Christ. So there's that balance again. The sufferings are almost the thorn, right? And the comfort is the flower. Where he said, we suffered a lot in Asia. We were under great pressure, beyond our ability to endure. We despaired of our life. We felt the sentence of death. But this caused us to rely on God, because we had nothing else to rely on. Or last week we saw, there's these jars of clay. They're really fragile. They're easily broken. They're very cheap. But God puts His light in there. And He does it in order to show that the light is coming from God, that the power is from God, and it's not from us. So Paul had this trouble, and we're not specifically told. He doesn't give us exactly what the thorn was. He doesn't define it for us. He just says, it was irritating to him. Interestingly, in verse 8, three times I plead with the Lord to take it away from me. It was undesirable for Paul. It was, can I just be done with this, please? Can you just take it? Can you just take it away? What does that look like? Is it an illness that you have, or that a loved one has, that you just say, man, why can't that just be removed? Why can't that thorn be taken away? Is it like a setback in your business or at work? You're expecting a promotion, you're expecting your investments to go very well, and they just don't. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a disability. Maybe it's an illness. But whatever it is, it's that thorn. And certainly we pray, we desire, we plead with God. We say, take it away. It's reasonable, right? Isn't that what Jesus prayed in the garden? Didn't he say, if this cup, if it's possible, can you take this cup away? I'm about to suffer quite a bit here. I just like to not go through this. Is it possible to take it away? Well, it seems that Paul got the same answer to that particular prayer that Jesus got. There was no other way. This was the way that God chose to go about it. This was the plan that God had. And we see in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I mean, I don't think Paul knew this like from the start. He had to learn this, right? It's not thrilling that God would say this in response to this prayer. You know, can you take this thorn away? God's reply is essentially, you know, my grace is actually bigger than your thorn. And keep in mind that your thorn is temporary. It only lasts for a time. My grace doesn't run out. It has no end. It's more than sufficient. And really, this thorn is demonstrating to you, Paul, that, you know, you're very gifted, you're very skilled, and you're very competent in many areas, but this thorn is demonstrating you still have some weaknesses. And those weaknesses will remain with you. You can't shake them. You can't do much to reverse the weaknesses. So maybe he felt a little trapped by that. Maybe he felt a little stuck in the circumstances he was in. But Paul, I think, he's beginning to learn that, okay, if this is how it's going to be, you know, there's a point where I guess you accept it. That's hard to do, right? You don't want to accept it. It's painful. It's irritating. It's discouraging, but you accept it. You say this is the way it is, at least for the moment. And he says at the end of verse 9, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Again, like I can't even like really, you know, can I say that honestly? I'm not sure. But I think that's when you find out. Again, we talked last week about the source of the power. I think when you can honestly say that, like, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses because I know where the power is coming from. Essentially, I'm familiar with the source of the power, and whenever I do have power, it's from Him. It's so good, the commentator said, the grace of God is not only for the beginning of the Christian life. It's for the beginning, the middle, and the end. Through the pain of the thorn, Paul was to learn that we get no lasting glory here. Least of all, through dramatic religious experiences, though they appear to be glorious and laden with power. Paul's ministry, which was marked by such pain, was only possible through the power of God. The grace and power of God interlock with human lives at the point of mortal weakness. In other words, we wonder, we listen to Paul's list. Okay, you were shipwrecked. You got the 40 lashes minus one. Which, if you remember, like when Christ was beaten before the cross, that was the 40 lashes minus one. Sometimes that would kill a person in itself. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. Now, how in the world did you make it through this? We think Paul was really strong. Maybe. Or could it be that he wasn't able to make it through it on his own? He was so dependent upon God for the power, for the strength. And the grace and power of God were interlocking with his life at the point of his weakness. You know, he wasn't some superhero. That stuff would ruin us too. That stuff would discourage us too. We would be disappointed in all these ways. The same as him. He was a normal person. I think he's trying to say, you know, I couldn't have made it through. I'm a jar of clay. I'm very weak. I have many faults. I'm always getting it wrong. But God, in His grace and mercy and His power, is starting to pour through Paul. And people may have said to Paul, man, he must be a strong person. And he may have replied, well, actually, not really. I have a strong God, though. There's a strong God that He's got my back. He fills me with power. He fills me with energy. He gives me endurance for all this suffering. And though He doesn't take the thorn away, He gives strength to endure it. And that's such a hard thing to understand, because we want so badly to get the tweezers out and say, man, I'm getting rid of this thing. Sometimes God says, no, you know, my strength is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. It'll be okay. He continues on in verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's a simple principle, I think, that when you're in those type of situations, that's when you really get to see God's power. That's when you really get to see His comfort come through. You know, when you get the surgery scheduled, and you're like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. Now that kind of changes how you pray, right? It kind of changes how you look at life. It kind of changes how you want to spend your days. You kind of forget about silly stuff. And you say, what's really important here? This commentator says, in some mysterious way, it is within God's plan that our present existence is marked by sin and suffering. From one point of view, God abhors and hates these things and will one day overthrow them. And yet, is it not through the awareness of our sins that the grace of God holds us near Christ for forgiveness right through our lives? And is it not also the pain of suffering of both mind and body that the same grace pins us closer to Christ, who says, my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, we want the easy way out. We don't want to go through the pain, but that's the only way to get the experience of the power of God. It really is. You know, when everything's going smooth, we just think, man, isn't this great? We're just coasting along. I don't need much power from God. I'm not aware of it. I'm still receiving God's power at that point, but I'm not aware of it. I'm just like, hey, everything's smooth. Everything's good. Things couldn't get better. But it's when things go the other way, where we say, man, I can't do it. And it pins you to Christ. That's why He leaves the thorn there. It pins you to His side. And your prayers will change, and your relationships will change. And I think those are the times in your life when the greatest change happens. Not because the thorn went away, but because the change took place inside of you. Because now you're changed. Now you're stronger. Now you have more endurance. Now you have more empathy for those around you who are suffering. You can say, man, I was there 2 years ago. The only way I made it through was the Lord Jesus Christ. He may not take the thorn away, but He may use it to keep you close to His side. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Father, this is a hard thing to accept. Because we want to fight against these painful moments in life. We want all roses and no thorns. We want all good times and no bad ones. But it's not possible for anyone. No one makes it through unhurt. No one makes it through without pain and trouble and disappointment. It's just this weird mystery of how our lives are. It's this mixture of good and bad. It's this blend or this collage of all these different experiences. Sometimes we're not even sure why it's that way, but we know that this place is broken. We know that it will one day be restored, but we're not there. We're not there yet, and the restoration of all things, it will be just as you want it to be. But for now, it remains a difficult place to walk through, and we find ourselves in the middle of the journey. We just pray that You would come near to us. Please help us as we go throughout this week. May we seek out the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.